at this point, you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. We are starting to begin our Holy Week, Passion Week messages that we're going to be sharing. And now some of you will say, well, yeah, it seems like it's like Easter's pretty far away yet. Well, we have some Sunday school Sundays in there, and we have another special Sunday in between there, so we're backing it up. So, we know when Easter is, and the elders have it all planned out, so I just want to let you know about that. So we'll be working on this. And for your homework, you can start working on the book of Luke, probably the last half of the book of Luke, but, you know, for extra credit, you can do the whole book of Luke. And for some more extra credit, you can read through it, read through the Easter story, Passion Week, in all of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. And you can read through them and see the account of each one. Just as each one of us here is different, so the writers of the Word of God are different. And you get to see their style as they wrote by the Holy Spirit moving them. And so just take some time to do that. It probably won't take you too long to do that. Some of you will get through it rather quickly. Others of you will don't read as fast, so it takes a little bit longer. And some of you digest better than others some of the stuff. And some of us can go back over it the second and third time and still glean things out of it that we didn't see the first time through. Let's pray. God of grace and God of glory, we come before you this morning recognizing that you are the God of the universe. You are the God that is good, as we were singing about here this morning. You're the God who sent your Son Jesus to walk this earth, to show us the way, to lead and to guide us. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit's unction upon our hearts and our minds this morning. And may you be the after teacher. Amen. So, since we're going into Passion Week, we're coming to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 starts out with that famous guy that had a problem, Zacchaeus, who had a problem with his stature. So to compensate for that, he climbed up into a tree so he could see Jesus coming and could see what was taking place. But as he was there that day, what happened? Jesus came and stood there and looked at him. How many times do we sometimes, are we in a crowd or with a lot of people, and we think they're coming for Sean or for Joanne or somebody else to speak to them, and they come to you? What does it make you feel like? Oh. Or somebody may say, could you answer a question for me? Oh, just keep going on to the next person. Go to the next person. Yeah. So we see Zacchaeus was the man where Jesus stopped. And we know what he did, how he changed his ways and invited Jesus into his home. Jesus came to his home. Also, continuing on here in chapter 19, it talks about the parable of the talents. And the highlight of that is they were given the talents. And the words that I like to look at is, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. As far as I know, we are here and we're going to be occupying until Jesus comes, calls us home through our death or through life when he calls us home in glory. So today we have Jesus entering in Jerusalem. Jesus is leading his followers. He's on this road that was also the road where the Good Samaritan met a guy that needed attention. This is a road that's going from 850 feet below sea level at Jericho area to 2,100 and 2,500 feet above sea level at Jerusalem. We're going uphill. And we can picture that as we were there, going down and then going up, going to the area of Jerusalem. And then when you're in Jerusalem, you're looking to the east and you see the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem. There's another town nearby there called Bethpage. Bethpage is a suburb of Jerusalem, and Bethpage is named for early figs. So if you like figs, you want to be there because there were early figs there. That's the name. And Bethany. What's the special about Bethany? Anybody? What's special about the town of Bethany? Go ahead. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And you know what? That's the place where Jesus, whenever he was in the area, he could drop in and hang out. How many of you have friends that can stop by your house, your home, at any time? No matter what. I see one hand back there. No matter what's going on, they can drop in. Yes, Jesus was a person that could stop in there with them at any time. And you know the story about that whole thing too. It's also the place of where the ascension took place. So let's read the scripture now from Luke 19. And somebody, just start reading out, read 5-6 verses, and somebody else pick up and take it off from the verse that they stop at, if you say the number of the verse where you're at. Luke 19, starting at verse 28.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill,
now I lost my place. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' And they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As they went along, people spread their cloaks along the road."
Okay. Who else is going to raise your hand so they can give you a microphone? Sorry about that, son, guys. I was neglecting and not giving you papers so that you could have had the mics to the people.
When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, If you, even you, had only known on the day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.
When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders among the people were trying to kill him, yet they could not find any way to do it because all of the people hung on his words.
Thank you very much for working through that with me. So, we're talking about the triumphal entry today of Jesus into Jerusalem. Never before was Christ so spectacular as he was that day on that Palm Sunday. He came to Jerusalem to die, determined that Jerusalem should know. The city was stirred. And here comes this Jesus of Nazareth. Do you remember what Matthew said about Jesus when he was being called by Jesus to be a disciple of his? Go ahead. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's interesting. We might sometimes be in the shoes of Matthew and make some judgment calls in a way that really shouldn't be made. But anyway, here he is. Matthew's there with him. Zechariah has a prophecy also about this. Zechariah's prophecy from Zechariah 9:9-10. It says, "Gentle king, come to Jerusalem. Ride a young donkey is the same one who will defeat the chariots and the war horses and bring peace to the nations." In Revelation 19:11-6, riding the white war horse, today rides a donkey in hopes of peace. Picture in your mind the skyline, the cross on it, the darkness, the earthquake, the veil being rent in twain in the temple. Never was a commonplace more beautifully devoted to his honor. What happened after we had the donkey and all that? He gets on the donkey. And then the palms praise him. They throw their coats out. They lay them down. Someone needed to cut the palm leaves and the branches. The multitude was acknowledging his lordship. And I'd like to just spend some time on a couple reflections from this. One of those is that he had full knowledge of the resources available to him. He knew the resources that were available to him because one of the attributes is omniscience, the infinity of his knowledge. "Ye shall find a colt." The colt, it was the very beast, because what does Psalm say? "The cattle on 1,000 hills are the Lord's." Now, I know many of us here don't have any animals, let alone the thousands. Now, there's some guys that have pigs here that have a lot of them. Or some of you remember Teen Haven, Bill Drury. He used to like to use that, especially as he was speaking to people, that the cattle on 1,000 hills. There were many times Teen Haven needed the cattle from the farmers in the area because they needed hamburger meat to feed the youth that were coming to Teen Haven camp. So many times he would ask if there was any available to come to camp to provide for the youth there. But this colt, it was supposed to be a colt that was never ridden on. Now why would that be? Why would that be? Never ridden on, and it was going to be set apart for the master's use. It was set apart for the master's use because, what did we say? The donkey's the master's. The master's. The donkey is the master's. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Okay, but what about, also, think about this. The fish in the depth of the sea, when they needed to pay their treasury, their taxes, what did Jesus say? "Go over there." They were at Capernaum. And that's where we touched the Sea of Galilee first. He went down there. He said, "Go, put out the fishing line, and the first fish you catch, bring it up, and you're going to find money in its mouth. Give that to them," and pays the treasury. Pay the treasury, the tribute money. The wealth in human hands, the silver and gold is mine, and from Haggai 2:8. Haggai says, throughout his book here, "Consider your ways." A question for you and I. Consider my ways. Consider my ways. And he was talking to the people then about the fact that the house of God was neglected. The people's houses were nice, but the house of God was being neglected. Consider your ways. And they got together and they did work on that. Think about the temple, as was read here, where they bought and sold. It is written. Oh, we've heard that before already, didn't we? At a time of Jesus' temptations. Didn't Jesus use that? Jesus says, it is written. It is written, my house is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. The tithe, whether gratefully offered or grudgingly withheld, from Leviticus 27, is the Lord's. It is holy to him. You heard what I said. Whether it's grudgingly given or gratefully given. There are two different ways that that can go on. Oh, yeah, I'm going to give my tithe this week. Or, yes, Lord, it's yours anyway. I'm just going to give it to you. How about the fish? Talking about those things that he has full knowledge of his resources. How about that big fish that was swimming in the water? And they were dealing with this guy that was running away from God on a boat. He was running away from him. And after a while, Jonah says, through the whole story, you know it, throw me overboard and the sea's going to stop. Well, did Jonah think he was going to get a second chance? Well, he did, because that fish came along and picked him up, gave him a ride back to land so that he could obey and follow in the way that he should have went the first time. How many of us need the second time or the third time to go back and do something? So we know the story of that fish. Dropping him off, made a stop along the shoreline someplace. We also see how Peter's boat was used by Jesus when he needed to do some speaking, but then they were also out fishing. And the song goes, they caught no fishes. They caught no fish. And then what did he do? Jesus said, go out. Drop your net on the other side of the boat. Not too much difference, is it? Obedience. Because I think it says, because you say so, I will do that, or we will do it. We see because he said it. Sometimes you and I will do things because a certain person said it to us. We put more stock in them. Yes, the fish at the depth of the sea, bringing up the coin for treasury. He did not want to offend any because of people's prejudice would be against him. Christian prudence and humility teaches us in many cases to recede from our right rather than give offense by insisting upon it. We must not decline duty for fear of giving offense, but we must deny ourselves in that which is our secular interest. In the preamble of a marriage service, the minister who was the father of the bride remarked that he could not think of anything new to tell his daughter. But he felt impelled to call attention once more to the four pillars upon which a truly happy home must be built. First of all, the Lord's Day. Remember the Lord's Day to keep it holy. Exodus 28. The Lord's tithe. From Leviticus 27:30, and then the family altar from Deuteronomy 11:18-21, and the family pew. Faithfulness in these areas of stewardship is never unnoticed, unremembered, or unrewarded by our Heavenly Father. He knows and sees everything that's going on at all times. There's nothing misses him, like we as parents sometimes. We miss something that our children did or something. Yeah, we don't always have the eyes working behind our heads, but we told our children that sometimes. So he knows he has all these earthly resources. He also designs that all earthly resources should serve him. So what does he do? He tells them to go to this place, and there's going to be a colt there. loose him and bring him. In verse 30, we see the resources in a friend's hand is no problem. Will, if you come and ask me for a tool, you may borrow it. That's no problem. Is this something that Jesus had friends all in the way in his travels, and somebody said to them, hey, if you ever need any help, let me know, I'll help you. If you ever let me know, I'll help you. Do we say that to people? Do we? Sure we do. We say we're willing to help. Well, this could be a time they went there and there the donkey was. Resources in the hands of friends. When needed, a boat was available. Likewise, there was an upper room. In Luke 22, 12. Even a prepared sepulcher, a tomb, 100 yards away from where he was crucified. Never man yet laid there. You know, I often thought of that. Never a person was laid there. The donkey that he was going to ride couldn't be a donkey that somebody else rode on. We also see the resources in the hands of an enemy are no less real. Somewhere in the woods, a woodsman prepared a cross, had his team of horses, team of oxen, whatever they used to haul it into the city. We also know that the leather worker, when he was making those thongs, taking that leather and reaching down the floor and get some metal scraps and tying it in among that leather. A sluggard had allowed the thorns to grow. How does it feel when you get one thorn in your finger or something like that, let alone having a crown of thorns, and I think it says in the scripture, pressed on your head? I wonder if those guys were wearing heavy gloves that they didn't get hurt, but they might have got hurt also. A blacksmith had forged the nails. An artisan had fashioned a spear to pierce his side. What business is it that is honoring to God? There was a clever inventor. He's said to have devised a new kind of lock for an iron safe. Instead of the usual knob and a dowel, the only thing visible to the outside was a mouthpiece from an old-fashioned telephone. In the inner mechanism, there was a tiny phonograph cylinder upon which a secret password was inscribed. When the project was completed, the builder challenged his fellow technicians to open the safe. With their expertise and knowledge, it was passed. They boasted they could open an ordinary safe, whether given the combination or not. When they had tried in vain to open the new safe and admitted their failure, the builder astounded them with the simplicity of the solution. He placed his lips close to the mouthpiece and in a clear, strong voice enunciated the password. Instantly there was heard. Excuse me. Instantly there was heard. Water, please. Thank you. Thank you for the stop. Instantly there was heard an almost inaudible click in the inner mechanism, and the technician needed only to pull the handle and the door opened. Such is the unique access of the Creator to the heart of every creature. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Think about that. The inscribed, there was only one person who knew that password on there. And he spoke into it, and it opened. It speaks to every soul. even that of a small child or an adult person. It was at the cross that they first saw the light. They first saw the light. The cross is the cross section of humanity. We know there were two thieves on the cross with him. The one on the one side, what did he do? Speak up. Mocked him. Thank you. Mocked him. What did the other guy say? Remember me. Remember me when you come into paradise. And what do we hear said? We say the ground at the foot of the cross is level. Anyone can come to it. Anyone can come to the foot of the cross and meet Jesus there. Thirdly, he entrusts to man the administration of his earthly resources. How about you? Well, this is question time. How about you? Do you argue when the Lord makes a demand of something that belongs to you? Yes, you have said. I give you my life. I give you everything I have. How is it when he makes a special request of us, we balk? We don't want to follow through, and yet we said we want you to lead our lives. Here, the man, the disciples come, and the owner says, "Why do you want this colt? The Lord hath need of him." The owner had it in his power to what? To loose the colt or to say, "No, you can't have the colt." We are free moral agents. We can make choices. If it was up to God, he'd have us make the right choices every time. But we have the choice to make. What choices do we make? So the owner set loose the colt. The great Hosanna chorus had broke loose at Jesus' birth, back in Luke 2. The believer must again hear the sovereign voice in our hearts, loose him. If Jesus came to Mannheim, New Beginnings, at a triumphal entry, would he be glad or would he be sad? If Jesus came, what would the spiritual state do? Move him to tears or the Hosanna starting to ring? I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Who did he tell that to? The Pharisees. The Pharisees. They were, they didn't like these people all praising the Lord. Yes, my friends, we as Christians, as his disciples, we need to be careful to be walking in the way of victory. Would we be putting the palm branches down as they come into the city? Would we be throwing our coats and cloaks down so there will be a red carpet path, a carpet path for him to go on? Jesus Christ on a donkey, never ridden. Jesus Christ coming into on the donkey was revealing his messiahship by coming on a donkey. You can read more about that if you study about the importance and what a donkey was used for and what a donkey would be ridden on. The other thing, when they come at this great Hosanna time and these people were praising him, what was Jesus doing? Was Jesus raising his hands and praising, yeah, here I come, I'm your king? What was Jesus' reaction? Jesus was sitting on that donkey in a humble fashion. But also, Jesus knew all things. He knew that why he was coming into that town. He knew what was going to take place. Yes, it was a great day in the old Jerusalem when the multitude burst into singing, but there was no ringing until someone loosed a colt. Someone had to loose that colt. It was also a great day in the life of an apathetic, dechanted church on the Western Plain when revival swept the community. For years, the service had languished. The property had deteriorated, and it became clear that something drastic had to be done if the church was to survive. Someone had a vision, and after a while, the vision took hold. It was a reasonably prosperous area of farmers and ranchers, but the people had never really learned to give. Now the need was desperate, and the people began to give, many of them sacrificially. At last, with much rejoicing, the new church was dedicated. Shortly thereafter, a series of special meetings was held, and it was not surprising to learn that the church had experienced such a revival as had never been known in all that area. But nothing happened until the members had loosed the colt. Jesus' invitation to us is, come. Come. I invite you. The invitation is always open for Jesus, for you to come to Jesus at any time. Respond to him as Lord and Savior of your life. And I want to share a couple lessons that can be taken from this, and they're not mine. Ralph Wilson had written them, and I'm just sharing them with you this morning. Number one, we are to obey Jesus when he tells us to do something. And I'll leave the rest with you. Just because we don't understand how everything will work out is no reason to refuse to budge when it's time to obey. Second, we must be ready and willing for Jesus to claim and use our possessions and our positions. No matter where we are at in life, in our positions or our possessions, we need to be willing and ready to let Jesus claim them. Third, praise can be received with humility. Jesus sitting on that donkey. Have you ever seen any political people for office and things? They don't just sit there very quietly, do they? Mm-hmm. They don't come in on a donkey either. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Fourth, there is time to be guarded about who we are in God, and there's times to be unguarded on who we are in God. Five, rejoicing and pain can coexist, just as we see Jesus on this triumphal entry, coming in with jubilation, triumphal entry, but also knowing the pain that was ahead. Six, the strongest lesson here is Jesus is King. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of David. Therefore, worship him. Therefore, worship him. Let's pray. Father God, I come to you thanking you that you are the giver of every good and every perfect gift. We realize, Lord, that you have come so that we might have life and life abundantly in you. Continue to teach us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit continue to walk and guide us in our thoughts, actions, and deeds. Help us, Lord, to honor the name that's above all names, and that Jesus, you may be glorified and honored, especially as we come to this Easter season. May we grasp something new something we didn't know before about the whole Easter time. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and giving your life so that we can have life and life abundant in you. In the name of Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, amen.